Hi, welcome to New Hope Community Church Online. The sermon you are about to hear was originally given by Pastor Chuck Wilson. New Hope Community Church, to know, to live, and to share Jesus Christ.
We're in James chapter 4, and if you're using the Bible, they're handing out the blue one. It's page 856. 856. If you're not using the blue one, I can't help you. You're going to have to fight it yourself. Hebrews, James, okay? And if you need a Bible, be our guest, take it home. You need one for a friend, it's our gift to you. Love for you to make use of the Bibles. There's also tapes and CDs of the service in the back. They're all free. Help yourself. And also we have podcasts. If you ever miss a service, or if you've missed services or sermons, or you want to kind of follow along with what we've been doing, they're all on the podcast. Just go to the website. It's right on the bulletin there, and go down the bottom of the website, and there's a place to click on to get the podcast. But the title today is, well, it's from James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, and it's, "Do You Need a Lift?" Anybody need a lift this morning? We probably all do, right? Although this is more of a kick lift from James to us. You know, he's been real nice to us here, but now he's starting to get a little more forceful. I was at the school. I've been coming to school early the last week because it's preseason. All the teams are doing their preseason training. I know a lot of you guys have kids in different schools, but we have one playing football here and one field hockey right now. And so as we've done the ride thing and dropped them off, it's amazing the number of kids, all the different teams here, just here at the school. I saw the field hockey players and the football and the cross-country runners running, and the girls' tennis team is starting to work out, and the volleyball team and girls' cross-country, and I'm probably missing somebody. Who am I missing? Boy soccer, thank you. Boy soccer. Everybody's working out. It's great to see so many kids, teenagers, exercising and staying busy and staying out of trouble, hopefully. So it's great. But it's funny because a lot of them are not in shape, all right? I was talking to Jeremy, PBU soccer, and he was saying, yeah, it was pretty hard. You can tell a lot of them aren't in shape. In fact, in our neighbor, we live in a development, and it's funny how many teens in the last week we've seen before the preseason started all running through our neighborhood, all these red-faced teenagers, because they're supposed to be doing it all summer, and you know they're, you know, cramming for the big test, right? You know, getting in shape. So, but it's a lot of young athletes are out of shape, and the coaches have a cure. They're like giving them a lot of yelling out there and blowing whistles and taking them out to track, making them run, doing all these different things. And James does the same thing for us this morning. He gives us a cure for Christians, for our spiritual walk. Maybe we're a little out of shape spiritually. Maybe we're letting things kind of crowd in here. Maybe we're struggling spiritually today. James 4, 1 to 6 was leading up to this. If you missed those couple sermons, you can go back and listen. But James talked about how we start to live sometimes a negative spiritual life, and we have these broken relationships that need healing, and we let the world start to creep in, and we just get out of whack spiritually. Nobody here, but you might know somebody like that. If we get out of whack spiritually, James 4, 7 to 10 is the coaching, you know, commands, or the doctor's cure, and he gives 10 different prescriptions, 10 different commands, 10 different challenges to us spiritually to get us back into shape spiritually. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for the worship, the time to just focus on you and be excited about you and let your Holy Spirit flow through the worship into our hearts and refocus us. And Lord, now we pray that as our hearts are prepared and our minds are prepared, that your Spirit would really speak to us through your word. I'm going to try to preach this, but it's the words, your word, right from the page of your word, speak into our hearts the way that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us this morning. We pray that we would get out of the way and let you do what you need to do, what you want to do in our life. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's pick it up here. Verse 7, he says, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And so he gives these 10 different cures, 10 different commands, 10 different cures for spiritual illness, 10 ways to get us back into shape spiritually, spiritual pills, if we're able to swallow them. And in the Greek, in English, it seems a little rough, but in the Greek, it's really rough. These are very blunt, strong statements that James gives. And in the Greek, they demand immediate response. This is what it's there. It's like the difference between with our kids. If I say to one of our kids, hey, go up and tell the little ones to get ready for bed, you know, and so they go up and they tell the little ones to start getting ready for bed. The siblings do it. It's optional, right? You know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. But if I come up the steps and say, get into bed, you know, which I never get upset, you know, never. all my kids are in children's church. I can say whatever I want. So anyway, although they'd be standing up challenging me. But not all of them are. There are a few out there, actually. But if I go up, well, I wish it was like that. They tend to be more, you know, jump to it and get to it because it's not optional. When Dad finally comes up and gives the statement, it's not optional anymore. And that's the idea here. It's very strong. James is kind of like taking the dad role and giving us the no option. This is very important for us. And he starts off by saying in verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. And this is the first step. If we're struggling spiritually, if we're struggling with something, if we're out of whack, the first step is submitting to God. Submitting is saying, I agree with you, God. I agree with what you're saying about your word. I agree about what you're saying about my life. It is out of whack. This area of sin in my life, or this area of my life is out of whack, or your will, I agree with your will. I know I've been following my feelings or my emotions that are already damaged and messed up, and I'm following them instead of following your word. And I need to submit to you. I need to go along with what you say. I need you. I need your mercy. That's submitting. We talk about mercy and grace all the time here. You know, God, I need you. I need your mercy. I need your grace in my life. This struggle that I'm facing, this battle that I'm facing, this temptation that's got me knocked down, this relationship that needs healing, for dealing with this, you know, my difficult kid, or, you know, fighting with my spouse, or whatever it is. I need you. I need your mercy and grace. That's what submitting to God is all about, saying, God, I can't do it. I need you. And then he goes on to say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Satan is real. Satan is real, and his goal is to separate us from God. And this is the whole point of this passage, is to reconnect with God. But Satan's whole goal is to separate us from God. He wants to separate us from our relationship now. He doesn't want us to have a relationship with God. Or if we've already put our faith in Christ, he wants to keep us from staying intimate with God, with Christ, and becoming like Christ. And if he can separate someone from eternity, from ever putting their faith in Christ and knowing they'll be separated forever in for eternity in hell from God. And that's his goal, because he hates us. Human beings have been made in God's image. We're made in God's image, and he rebelled against God, and he hates us. I think of myself. I got 13 children, and you know, and they resemble Kim and I somewhat, you know, depending which grandparents you talk to. Anyway, but when someone doesn't like me, and I know that's hard to believe, but there are actually some people in the community that don't like me. And if they don't like me, I notice that they don't like my kids either, because they represent me and they remind them of me. And that's, isn't that true? And that's the same thing with Satan. He hates our Father. He hates us. And even if you haven't put your faith in Christ, the last thing he wants you to do is put your faith in Jesus Christ and become a child of God, because he wants you to spend eternity with him. Because we are made in God's image, and he hates us. That's the only thing he can do to cause God any kind of pain, is to keep us from that relationship if we listen to him. 1 Peter 5:8-9. 1 Peter 5:8-9, parallel passage. A lot of similarities here. It's just the next book forward. It's hovered up behind me. But he says here in verse 8, he says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. It's very, very important. And the mistake that we make a couple of mistakes in dealing with spiritual warfare in our life. The first of all is we don't submit. We try to fight in our own power. You ever find yourself falling into that trap? Just kind of white-knuckling it and trying to do it and not submitting to, you know, just trying to fight in our own power. And it's very important that we submit first to God. It's that white-knuckle Christianity. It doesn't work. We can hang on for a day or two, but it doesn't work, right? It's so important that we don't make the mistake. First of all, we have to go right to God and say, God, I can't fight this battle on my own. I need you. But after that, the next mistake we make is we don't resist. We sin, and then we confess it, and then we sin again, then we confess it. Then we do some mess up again. God, I'm sorry. We mess up again. God, I'm sorry. But we never resist. It's very important that not only do we submit, but we also resist. Very, very important. And many people that I talk to, and I've been in the same place too, we're deceived. We think we have no control over a thought, the thoughts we're struggling with, or the emotions that we have, or our actions. We think we just kind of have to go. We don't have no control over those thoughts and emotions and actions to just keep bombarding. But that's not true. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, it says, pull that one up for me. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. They have, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We have been told we have the power to take captive. Now, it takes time. You're a brand new Christian. You just put your faith in Christ. You're a brand new Christian, and when our lives are a mess, it takes time. But we can learn to develop, just like those kids out there running the track and running on the football field and getting into shape. We spiritually, as we develop our spiritual muscles, we learn to battle the enemy. We learn to battle the flesh. We learn to battle the world, and we can develop the spiritual muscles. And by depending on God's mercy and grace daily, we can be transformed. It takes time, but we can be transformed. Think about your life when you first put your faith in Christ. When you first said, God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, for my sins, so I could be forgiven. And I put my faith in him. I give my life to him. Think about what your life was like, whether it was last week or whether it was 20, 30 years ago. Think about the change in your life. It's dramatic. It's radical. Hopefully. It depends how much we depend on God. But it takes time. We can battle. I'm going to skip the Ephesians ones, guys, there. But it says, if we submit to God and resist the devil, we are promised victory. I just read that Josh Hamilton book. Let you know, follow the Texas Rangers, Josh Hamilton, his amazing story. He wrote the book about comeback, I think it was called. And he was saying when he was on all the drugs and totally addicted and being tattooed from ear to ear, toe to toe, he was saying what finally broke it for him is he put his faith in Jesus, and then he kept quoting this verse over and over and over, claiming this verse. And every time he had an impulse to use drugs, he would claim this verse. And he did it thousands of times a day. And little by little, he started to see victory because he submitted to God and resisted the devil. And that's the key. To have the verses and God's word and the promise and hang on to them and resist in battle. And yeah, we still do need we need the counseling. A lot of us have been to Christian counseling. And we still need healing, all those things. But the starting point is submitting to God and resisting the devil. And then the door is open for all the other healings and transformations to take place. So there's the first two. Submit to God, resist the devil. The third command he gives us is in verse 8. He says here, come near to God and he will come near to you. Now, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you haven't taken that step yet, and you're just searching, great, keep coming, keep searching, keep taking that steps on that spiritual journey. But when you finally take that step, you actually, the Bible says you become a child of God. God actually becomes our heavenly Father. And he's not like our earthly father. Our earthly fathers, even if you have a really great dad, like 13 kids I know. But even if you have, you know, really, I'm kidding. But even if you have a really great dad, there's no comparison to what God is like. You know, most earthly dads, you know, if we give them a hard time, they get kind of like mad and pouty, and you kind of have to earn your way back into their good favor, right? Don't we, dads, don't we kind of do that to our kids on a regular basis? And but God's not like that. He's a loving father. He's always ready to pick us up. He's always ready to hold us close. He's always waiting to clean us off and to help us. And even if he does have to discipline us, and he does have to discipline us, doesn't he? Even if he does, even that is in perfect love, even though it's painful at times. It's perfect love that God does it in. That's the key with remembering with God is he wants us to come to him because he's waiting to pick us up. And how do we come near? James comes up with a few blunt statements here, very, very blunt here. It's kind of like, you know, some people say something blunt, coach or something, grow up, step it up, you know, shut up, you know, whatever they, you know, move it, you know, that real blunt. This James comes up with some really blunt statements here. And the first one he comes out with is, wash your hands, you sinners. This is how we're going to get close to God. Wash your hands, you sinners. And he uses a picture. Remember James writing to the Jewish audience. He was Jewish, half-brother of Jesus. And he's using a picture from the Old Testament of the priests. And what the priests, when they came to the tabernacle, he's using the picture there. When they would come to the tabernacle, there was a bronze basin. And they would have to wash their hands in this bronze basin. And that was a symbol of their spiritual cleansing. It was symbolic of the spiritual cleansing that they're taking place in. But then he goes on to say, purify your hearts, you double-minded. And just like the Old Testament had the symbolic hand washing, the New Testament takes a lot deeper, doesn't it? Not the outward stuff, but he's going after the heart, the inward, and the symbol is fulfilled. The washing hands was really a picture of purifying our hearts, and that's the whole point, right? And he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. And we've talked about this several times through the book of James, the idea of double-minded, and James is using it here to refer once again to, we're trying to be friends with the world and friends with God. And you can't do both. If you weren't here the last couple of sermons, go on back and listen. It's impossible. It's spiritual schizophrenia. You know, you can't do it. It's impossible. Then he moves in verse 9, he moves from the priest picture to the prophetic. And he really starts to use words that the prophets use. If you read Amos and Joel and Obadiah and all these different prophets, he uses the same verbal pictures here. He says, grieve. Then he says, mourn and wail. And when you hear the word mourn, it reminds us of Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, where he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And that word there for mourn, when he's talking about mourning, he's not saying blessed are those who are sad because they're going to be comforted. He's saying mourning over sin. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about repentance of sin. And if we mourn and repent of our sin, we will be comforted. God comforts us. That's the picture, repenting of sin. You see, sin, mourning because of our sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. When we sin, it breaks God's heart. You see, God created us to live this awesome life, and we've listened to the wrong guy and gone the wrong direction. And what sin is really trying to do things our way, trying to meet our needs the wrong way instead of God's way. And God's word is not meant to keep us from having fun. He wants us to have the most fun. He wants to live the ultimate life. And this is why he says to live according to his word. He created us. He knows how this machine works, you know, how to fly this plane. He knows, he has, this is his instruction manual to live the ultimate life. He knows that. So when we sin, we are damaging ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. And that's why it breaks God's heart. Remember when you, for those who are parents, remember when you had your first kid and you had this beautiful baby and you're so excited. Wow, this is amazing. And they're amazing. There's nothing, something so special about that little baby. And you're like, I know I really messed up a lot in my life, but I'm going to raise my kid different. I'm going to raise a kid to be really like perfect, you know, and I'm going to tell them all the right things, and I'm going to read them from the Bible and memorize scripture and do the music, and I know they're going to turn out different than me. And remember then that first time they lie to your face? You're like, what happened? What happened? We're in shock, right? Or remember when they became teenagers and they really did something really bad, shockingly bad, kind of like we did when we were teenagers. And we, remember how upsetting that was? I'm just getting started. It was shocking. It breaks your heart, doesn't it? It's like jabbing a knife into your heart. And that's what it's like when we sin. It grieves the Holy Spirit because he wants something so much better for us. And we need to have God's perspective on sin. It breaks God's heart. Does it break our heart? And then he goes on to say, also in the same verse, the next couple things, change your laughter to crying and your joy to gloom. Those are two different ones, 8 and 9 there. Remember a few years back, holy laughter was a big deal. You know, you saw the different revivals and holy laughter. And I was at a few places where I saw people, the pastor would start preaching and someone just fall on the floor and start laughing hysterically, you know. And we'd all be like, you know. So I hope nobody does that here, by the way. But anyway, they would just laugh hysterically. But they didn't think anything was funny. They had holy laughter come over them. And everybody's like arguing, this isn't right, this is right, this is from God, this isn't from God. All these arguments. I'm not going to give you my judgment publicly because this is podcasted, but I will say this. I don't know about holy laughter, but I can say for sure there's holy crying. There's holy crying. And that's what he's talking about here. God's not against having fun. He's not talking about you shouldn't have fun. God has a sense of humor. He made you guys, you know. He made us, right? He has a sense of humor. Laughing is a gift that he's given us. You know, you ever just really have a good laugh and just how it just really does pick you up sometimes? We need that, right? It's a gift. But he doesn't find sin funny. And this is what James is talking about. He doesn't find sin funny at all. He doesn't find worldliness funny at all because he knows it's damaging us. I think of sitcoms and there's some great sitcoms out there, but many sitcoms, you sit there and you watch these comedy sitcom shows, and most of the joking is not Christian. Most of it's geared around sin today, things the Bible would call sin, right? And it's amazing. We laugh because it is funny. They make it funny, and we laugh. The first step to getting us to sin is to make us laugh about it. If the devil can make sin funny, he's got his job pretty much finished, doesn't he? That's the whole trick there. And God doesn't find sin funny. The sin and the effects of sin break God's heart. Do they break ours? In verse 10, he goes on to say, the 10th command, he says, humble yourselves. I have to look it up again. Before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourselves. The idea of humble, once again, is to recognize our spiritual need. When we're humble, when we're probably saying, I don't need anybody, I don't need anything, I got it all. But when we're humble before God, we're saying, God, I have a spiritual need. I need you. I need you, first of all, for salvation. I need you, first of all, to get connected with God. God, I need your son, Jesus Christ. There's no way you're going to let me into heaven. There's no way you're going to want a relationship with me the way I am in the garbage in my life and the rebellion in my life. I can't connect with you without somebody cleaning me up first. And that's what Jesus Christ is all about, that death on the cross, the blood he gave that washes us. We put our faith in him, our trust in Jesus Christ. We give our life to him, and that opens the door. We're adopted, and we become a child of God, and Jesus brings us in the presence of God. That's humbling ourselves and saying, God, I need you. And not only that, but after we become a Christian, it's God, I need you for every area of my life. I need your grace for every area of my life. You name it, I need you. We need you. I need your help to get back on track. As Christians, we get off track all the time, right? That's why we get together as a church on Sundays and refocus, and why we have a home fellowships and youth groups and one-to-one discipleship mentoring is to help us get back on track. But I need you, God. I can't get back on track. I can't do it. I need you to get out of this mess that I've got myself into. I need you. I need to totally submit, God. Whatever you say. Whatever you say I need to do, whatever you say it takes, I'll do it. That's what it means to humble ourselves before God. God, whatever you want in my life, whatever you want to happen, I'll submit. Even no matter how much it goes against my flesh, no matter how much I don't want to do it, I will submit. In fact, in 1 Peter 5, back to 1 Peter 5, just before verses 8 and 9, verses 6 and 7, he says a great thing here. It's a great parallel passage. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety in him because he cares for you." How is God speaking to us today? How is he speaking to us? How is he speaking to me? Maybe today, for the first time, you realize your need for him. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ. You've lived a life apart from God and apart from Jesus Christ, apart from his grace. But today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and you say, "God, I need you. I need forgiveness. I need that transformation that you've promised. I need forgiveness. I need that transformation." And the first step to that is to give our life to Jesus Christ, to put our faith in Jesus Christ, give our life to Jesus Christ. That's the first step, and then in this whole transformation process. Maybe as a Christian you're here, and you're saying, "You know what, I'm not as close to God as I once was, or I'm not that close to God right now. There's some things in the way." Look at the insert. I put an insert in there, and down on the bottom, it says, "What's keeping me from intimacy with God?" I found this in my James 4 file. I saved it from a long time ago. I have no idea where I got this. So if you came up with this, thank you. But I don't know where it came from. I didn't put any names or anything there, but it's really good. He says, "What blocks our intimacy?" And maybe one of these things hits a chord here. God wants to be close with us. Why aren't we letting him? Why aren't we coming to him for that intimacy? Pride? Maybe it's fear. God might want me to change something I don't want to change. Right? You ever go through that? Be honest with God. You can be as honest as you can be totally honest with God. He already knows. Tell him, "God, I don't want to be close to you. I'm afraid you're going to make me change X, Y, and Z in my life." Tell him. Be honest with God. Maybe it's rebellion. You don't want it. You don't want it. Inferiority. Guilt. We feel so guilty. We just feel like we can't go before God until we get ourselves cleaned up, and then we can go before God. Well, listen, if you're going to wait till you get yourself cleaned up enough to go before God, you're going to have all eternity to wait. We're never going to be there. It's all him. It's all grace, right? Selfishness, bitterness. Ooh, that's one. I'm hurt because God let me down in the past, and so we're struggling with anger toward him. Unbelief. What in our life as Christians, what's keeping us from that real close intimacy with him? And also, up at the top there, I put down, maybe there's an area of our life, and we're just going to take a few moments to pray here in a minute. What area of our life needs adjusting? Maybe as we've been sitting here and hearing these commands and what James said, maybe the Holy Spirit's been convicting us about something, speaking to us about something in our life. What area of our life needs adjusting? Maybe it's submitting to God, saying, "God, I need you." Maybe it's resisting the devil. I can fight those destructive thoughts by God's grace. Maybe it's coming near to God. He's waiting with open arms. Maybe it's washing our hands. What sin do I need to surrender? Maybe it's purifying our hearts. You know, how have I let the world influence me in some way? Maybe it's grieving. What do I need to repent of? Mourning and wailing. What in my life is breaking God's heart? Maybe it's changing laughter to crying or joy to gloom. How has my heart become calloused? Calloused to what God's trying to do. Maybe it's humbling ourselves. Why? Will I totally submit to God and let him work in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my work, in my school, on that team I'm on, that temptation I'm battling? Whatever he's working on in our life, will I totally submit and humble myself to him? Which area of our life is God speaking to us? Let's just go to a little time of prayer here before we close in worship. And just let's, before we run out and forget all this, let's let the Holy Spirit do a little deeper work here as we pray. And as we go to this time of prayer, once again, maybe you're a Christian, but God is speaking about wanting to be closer. And what's blocking that relationship? You don't have to leave with it blocked. God is waiting to hold us close. We just have to go to him. What area of our life is James speaking to us? The Holy Spirit speaking through James to us about which of these 10 areas, 10 commands do we need to listen to our coach Jesus about? While we're doing business with God, I want to speak to those who have never put their faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never given your heart and your life to him. And you're here and you're a mess, just like all of us were and are, without God's grace. But the Holy Spirit is calling you and drawing you and showing you that God wants you to be His child. And God has this awesome life that He wants you to live, that He created you to live. But it's a life that you can only receive through faith. Would you put your faith in Him right now? Right where you're sitting. A prayer from your heart to God's heart. Just say, God, I believe Jesus died on that cross for me so that I could become your child. And I want that. I don't want the garbage and the sin anymore. I walk away from that. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and I give my life to Him. If you've taken that step of faith this morning, I want to encourage you to let somebody know. Maybe you came with somebody, let them know. Maybe you have a friend here. Maybe you just fill out the card or tell me on the way out or email me, call me. I love those calls. Let somebody know so that we can be excited for you and encourage you. For those of us who are praying and asking God for grace, coming back to God in some way, if you need more help with this, maybe there's something in your life you need to talk to somebody, tell me. Fill out the card. Once again, shoot an email, anything. Grab someone else here. Everybody's here for each other. Maybe you need a deeper healing and talk maybe to a good Christian counselor or just another Christian to mentor. But the start of the healing is turning to God. Father, I know that in a few moments we're going to go back to very busy lives, but I pray that we would still be able to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying to us. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit would complete in our lives what you're starting this morning. Pray that in Jesus' name.